Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Stories, lively and direct from the production studios at community radio station KHMB, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. This podcast is a collection of news stories from CoastSideNews.com, publishers of the Half Moon Bay Review and the Pacifica Tribune. This podcast is a collaboration between the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement, Coastside News, and KHMB Radio. I'm David Gorn.
So we are almost at that point for Our Stories where there are so many of them, we actually stop counting the individual podcasts. But yeah, we're not at that point yet, because this is podcast number 15. Lots of news in the other 14 podcasts, so check them out too, please. One of the stories we did in, hold on, let me check. One of the stories we did way back in podcast 3 touched on all of the development planned for El Granada, including the park and the parking lot proposed on the Burnham Strip, just off Highway 1 across from Surfers Beach. Lots of controversy over those plans, and we're going to get a little deeper into that in a minute. But first, I want to take you somewhere completely different. It's the world of long-distance, open-sea swimming. There are no medals or trophies for these long swims across ocean waters, and yet it takes huge determination and strength to complete these swims, and it takes a lot of training.
Good morning, how are you?
Which is why I was recently standing in the cold and the dark at 5 in the morning up at Half Moon Bay High Swimming Pool, because it's part of a training cycle for Brittany Ruffier-Kloss.
Thanks for coming here so early in the morning.
Yeah, what am I doing here?
I don't know.
It's nighttime.
I know. I know.
Ruffier-Kloss just finished swimming the Catalina Channel down in Southern California. She swam 20 miles, starting at around midnight, and swimming for more than 17 hours straight in the ocean.
For Catalina, I was training every single day. Sundays was my rest day, but I still did an ocean swim. So 7 days a week, ocean swim. Other days a week was three times a day swimming or gym and then ocean.
So when I talk to everybody about it,
yeah,
they all have the same question.
Oh, sure.
Why?
Oh, because I just love it. It lights my soul on fire. I love the cold water. I've just grown to love it. I started with Half Moon Bay open water with a wetsuit. My dad was like, you're going to start ocean swimming? And got me a wetsuit. I hated the wetsuit. I felt like I was being choked out. I got so claustrophobic. I hated it so much. And this other lady, she was swimming without it. And I was like, well, she could swim without it. I can swim without it. And so I started swimming without it. And now my body just craves the cold. I love it.
So you swim without a wetsuit?
All year round. Yeah. Because I just want to stay acclimated.
So is Catalina warmer than this?
Oh, yeah. It was, they claim it started at 65 and ended at 62, but I feel like it was warmer than that.
So for you, it was like a heated pool.
Yeah, it was so nice. I, you know, 17 and a half hours, I never got cold in there. Never. I swear.
And so the other question everybody has is like, why do you start at midnight, basically?
Oh, it's because the calmer seas and less boat traffic. I thought the dark was going to be the scariest part, but I ended up loving it because I had bioluminescence the whole time.
Well, that's what I read in Emma's story.
Yeah, I've never seen it in real life before. It was incredible, David. It was mesmerizing. It was like
pretty much the whole way.
For 7 hours in the dark. Yeah, just every time I put my hand in, it looked like absolute stardust. Like, just, it was just incredible.
So you wanted it to be longer.
Oh, yeah. No, when the sun started to come up, which we had cloud cover the whole time, so when the sun came up, it wasn't like, ooh, the sun's up. It just was lighter, darker sky. And, yeah, they just slowly faded away. And I was like, bye, loomies. Bye, friends. See you later. Like, they really kept me company. Yeah.
After being in the water for uh-huh. 17 hours.
Yeah.
Almost 18 hours.
Yeah.
And you get near shore.
Yeah, that was very exciting.
Tell me.
Well, my mind was playing tricks on me, which I've never experienced before. I thought I saw land in the clouds when I didn't. My kayaker was so sweet, but he was like, no, we can't see it yet. And I was like, I really thought I saw, like a mirage. Like, that was crazy to experience. And I really didn't. It was, we were miles
so did
away.
Did you really want to see land?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. I didn't want to quit at any time, but I was in a lot of pain and I was really tired. And I definitely did not think it was going to take me so long. So when I counted out how many hours I was at 14, when I thought I'd be done at 14, yeah, I think my mind really wanted to see land. Like, I got to at least be close enough to see land. No, No, I wasn't. But I mean, when we had the megapod of dolphins come, that was like hour 15.
Well, I read about that too.
Oh, that was so cool. Oh my God. All of a sudden I could hear the crew yelling and yelling, and I could hear the dolphins so loudly, and I couldn't see them all jumping around me because I didn't want to lift my head and stop swimming, but they were just swimming with me, all underneath me. I mean, it was so incredible. It was such a gift. It was so beautiful. And dolphins are my favorite animal in the whole world. That was incredible. I started crying in my goggles because I was like, I'm going to make it. It was pretty cool.
That was the other thing that occurred to me is like, you did the big 8-hour swim here in the
water. Yeah.
It's like such a big deal.
Yeah.
And like, you did it.
Yeah.
Then,
8 hours. I know.
8 hours. Is like,
that was my longest swim. That was my longest swim before this. Can you believe that?
No,
ridiculous. I know.
But you know, you get past 10 miles and
yeah.
you're like, everything hurts.
Oh,
everything
right.
Everything hurts.
Yeah. That's where I was at hour 15. I did a weird stretch and I jacked something up in my back, like right in my rib cage, and still hurts a little bit today. It's a lot better, but man, it wrecked me the whole last 3 hours of the swim. It felt like there was a rib out of place or something. It was just every time I breathe or stroke, everything hurt. Yeah.
That's 3 hours. That's almost half of the big swim.
Right. Oh, that's true. That's swim. So crazy. That's so crazy. Yeah.
We are back in studio for a minute with Emma Spaeth, publisher of Coastside News, who wrote the story about the Catalina Channel swim and Ruffier Kloss. Emma, hi.
Hi, David.
So first, Emma, maybe you could tell me in the stories that you've done, what stood out to you about this 17-hour swim in the ocean?
What stands out to me about Brittany is not only the training, just the extensive training that she put in before this swim, but it's just the enthusiasm that she brings to every single swim, every single workout, and the enthusiasm that she brought to the Catalina Channel. Brittany is somebody that constantly has a smile on her face. She just radiates this bubbly happiness, and I have never met anybody who can talk about swimming for 17 hours straight and say it was one of the best experiences of her life. She was having a blast for most of it, and just
in the dark.
Yeah.
It's also nighttime,
and somebody that came out of the water and said that the nighttime ended up being her favorite part.
Right. I love that. So I understand you have kind of a unique perspective for a reporter on swimming in the ocean. Want to tell me about that?
Yeah. So I grew up swimming here on the coast. And a few years ago, I connected with Brittany because I wrote a magazine article for Coastside Magazine about the cold water crew, these people that go out every single day and do open water swimming. And when I did that article, I connected with Brittany and some of the other people that do these awesome swims. And they invited me to come out and swim with them. And once again, going out there with Brittany, not only was she just so excited that someone wanted to come out and join them, but it was a perfectly clear water day, and she would pop her head out and say, "Oh my gosh, I just saw starfish. What a beautiful day." And I swear to God, I was struggling to keep up, and I had a blast the entire time just because of her energy.
Yeah. You've now done a few stories on her swims because she's ramped it up. I remember the 8-hour swim was a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she just doubled that one.
Mm-hmm.
So where does she go next?
I probably started talking to Brittany maybe 4 years ago. And even back 4 years ago, Brittany was saying, "I want to do every single channel swim." Amazing as it is that it's ramped up in the last year or so, this training has been happening for years. And she has had these goals on her mind for years. And so it's excellent being able to see her check off the first one. And next, she's going to be doing the North Channel swim, which is from Scotland to Northern Ireland.
Well, I've heard about that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I imagine they get progressively harder. Is there a holy grail of channel swims? Is that English Channel?
I think it's understood that the holy grail of channel swims is generally considered to be the English Channel, which is a 21-mile endurance test between England and France.
So it's actually about the same distance as the Catalina Channel.
It's colder, rougher waters, stronger currents.
All right. So you were swimming with her 3 or 4 years ago. Are you still swimming?
Yeah. And actually, I credit Brittany for inspiring me to do my 4th Alcatraz swim this last August. And my mom wanted to give Brittany a shout out as well, that my mom just finished her first Alcatraz swim. And she got a lot of advice from Brittany and her dad.
Cool. I love that. Well, thanks to both of you, crazy swimmer Brittany Ruffier Kloss and reporter Emma Spaeth. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
I don't know why I love that story so much, but I really love that story. We have one more for you today. We wanted to talk to Michelle Dragony. She runs Coastside Buzz.
And she goes to every meeting and public hearing on the coastside. I don't know how she does it. I wanted to talk to her about Burnham Strip. Now, Caltrans wants to build a parking lot out there. The Harbor District is exploring the possibility of a parking lot there. And Granada Community Services District has a plan for a park. Here to sort it all out for me is Michelle Dragony.
The Burnham Strip, that swath of land originally was set aside to be a buffer, to be a visual buffer.
And the El Granada Gateway, that's what it's zoned for, yeah.
There's several sets of plans for Burnham Strip, so we're going to talk about each one in turn. The first one is what Granada Community Services District is doing. Mm-hmm. So that's first. That looks like it's going to happen.
It's the furthest along. Now it's going into final design phase.
If it does happen,
mm-hmm.
What are we talking about?
They'll do it in phases.
So starting when?
They still have to get their final permit, and they have to go through San Mateo County Planning still.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have to go to the supervisors and then the Coastal Commission.
So the Granada Services District, they've been working on this for a really long time.
8 years.
And the big holdup has been the nursery school that's there. You want to explain that?
No, it's not a holdup. It hasn't held anything up. They've been held up just by COVID, by having to go through this incredible design process. I mean, you've got fish and game that are involved. They had to do a lot of water work. There's two waterways that go through there, and so they had to have some environmental mitigation and all that kind of stuff. And the permitting process just takes a ridiculously long time.
Well, I would argue that the preschool has been a holdup just because that's where the community center
is. They have a year, maybe a year and a quarter lease left, and they'll do it in phases because they don't have the money to do it the whole thing. They get a certain amount of money every year through the property taxes. It is quite possible that they could get another year out of it because I don't think the community center will be built until after the open space is done and the skate park, is done. And
I would say that there have been several efforts to find a new site for the preschool.
Ray's looked, Nancy's looked. Mm-hmm.
And so that community center is going in. It's just that it will go in at the end.
Probably. The northern part of the open space next to where Picasso Preschool is. I mean, that's easy. They can put the trails in. I think the dog thing is in there.
Right, and the skate park thing.
And a lot of the people who don't want the park at all will get a nice open space area that may make them feel a little bit better, about having the change. I mean, change is difficult for human beings all of the time, and this is just an example of a lot of change in one place with a lot of different jurisdictions.
Well, I have been used to seeing that Burnham Strip be open, and I do like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild and cool. Assuming that all the approvals come through, county seems on board. Mm-hmm. You never know about appeals and the Coastal Commission. It is a very sensitive area. Mm-hmm. But assuming that everything goes according to plan, we're going to see a park starting to be built there by end of next year?
I would say, you just can't tell because you've got to go through all the jurisdictions still.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm always surprised.
It could even be 2027.
What I do know is that when I look at how far along this project is, it's very far along.
Yes.
Like, I think that this is as close to a done deal as we get on the coast side.
I think so.
So a year from now, year and a half from now, 2 years from now, we could argue about when that park part is going to be done. But what are you going to see? Take me through. Show me from the harbor down to El Granada School. What's going to be there?
It will start with the Picasso Preschool being the community center. And then there's going to be a trail that goes around the perimeter of the park. Then you get into like an area where there's going to be a built-in skate ramp. There's going to be a doggy area. There's going to be a bathroom. And then you have parking.
The parking.
This is where the done deal, I get even more squishy about it. Is because you have along the frontage road right there where they want to put their little trails and stuff like that. You also have plans for Connect the Coastside. Now, the Connect the Coastside got so busy from the county's point of view, they were thinking about moving it back to Alhambra.
You're talking about the bike trails.
The bike trails. Yeah, the one that dead ends right there at the corner of Coronado and Highway 1 where Wilkinson is. And so that might be the plan. But the other thing is Caltrans.
The big one.
It's Caltrans. Caltrans, we literally, and there's one other thing too. We may need to put in another wet weather tank at the Burnham Strip before we cover it up and do.
Okay, well, now you're going to get me too confused.
Yeah.
So what I do know is that Caltrans wants to repave Highway 1.
Yes.
From the harbor down to the southern part of Half Moon Bay, mm-hmm. which is also was pretty close to a done deal. And now
it got appealed.
But there's a reason it got appealed. And one of the things is they want to build bike lanes on both sides of the highway, mm-hmm. which means there's no parking, which mm-hmm. technically, legally, there's no parking there now anyway. There shouldn't
that's
be.
Right. That's right. Yes.
That's the law.
That's right.
But that's the law that hasn't been followed.
Correct.
But once you put the bike lanes in there, then you really have to enforce the no parking, which prompted this appeal.
Yeah.
Because you're losing a huge amount of parking. I mean, it's 75 cars, 100 cars. But so Caltrans is now required to build a parking lot.
Well, they're required to provide 75 spaces within a quarter mile of Surfers Beach.
So we have actually three areas where we could have a parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's the parking lot for the park,
mm-hmm.
there's the parking lot that Caltrans needs, and mm-hmm. there's a parking lot that the Harbor District also wants to put in.
Mm-hmm.
Could we have three parking lots
yes.
in the Burnham Strip? That seems like too many.
No, well, so we don't know what Caltrans is going to do, so we really only have two. We have the GCSD parking area, and then we have the Harbor that's looking at it. And they're spending $500,000 on a potential design. And it, too, can get kicked back by the Coastal Commission, you know, and they don't have funding for the construction part of it. They're hoping that Caltrans will chip in. But like I just said, I don't know how that's going to work because it doesn't mean the Coastal Commission appeal response requirements of 0.25. And I just was looking at it the other day.
Quarter mile.
The bigger problem is the revetment. That's a long Surfers Beach.
Ah, now you're going to get me confused. Why don't you explain? I'm going to have to talk slowly. Here.
I'm going to have to because, I mean, I want people to understand.
What's
this.
A revetment?
Revetment are the rocks, and the rocks were placed there years ago with an emergency coastal development permit. They probably didn't actually have the permit at any point. They just put the rocks there because they were trying to save Highway 1, and it's Caltrans, so they're the state, and they do what they want for the most part. The Coastal Commission says, we want a real plan. We don't want you to just keep throwing rocks in here. They want to know how you're going to realign Highway 1. That's what they're asking Caltrans to figure out. And we're supposed to know of June of this year, but with the appeal and the parking, I'll bet you anything that they've thrown a wrench into the works and they have to kind of go back to square one to the point, can they use the right of way that's just right there along, you know, right next to, you know, Granada?
Given the very real concern people have for basically having a parking lot instead of the beautiful grass of Burnham Strip.
Yeah, I know.
And given just people's reluctance to see change and the fact that it's in such a high-profile area, I can't imagine that it's going to happen in the next year for Caltrans. And I also can't imagine Caltrans proceeding with its Highway 1 repaving without having that in place.
Well, we have to ask ourselves as a community, do we want to have the Highway 1 repaving done? Because if we don't get it done, we won't get it done for another 20 or 25 years when Caltrans does another, you know, maintenance project.
So this is really complicated.
That's part of the risk, yeah.
You think it's so simple. Okay, we're going to turn Burnham Strip into a nice little park, but it's way more complicated than that.
Yeah. Well, I was on the Park Advisory Committee for GCSD when they first started, and it was exciting. But I remember being in El Granada Elementary School, and Brian Overfelt and his people were on one side of the room, and then I had Fran Pollard and Lenny Schultz on the other side of the room, and I was in a group that was sort of right in the middle. And, the group over there with Brian, you know, they wanted the pump track. They wanted to have all these activities and stuff like that. And the ladies, they just wanted to have open space. And what they came up in the middle was actually what we have today. It's a little bit of everything that everybody wanted.
When I see the design for that park and the plans for that park, it's really heartening.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, change is hard. And I think people do have a very highly branded perception of the coastside being a little bit wild. And I think, you know, you're going to find that there's going to be people who leave, but you're also going to find people that come.
Well, thank you, Michelle Dragony, for coming by.
Well, you're welcome, Warren.
I would like to thank Michelle Dragony of Coastside Buzz for flitting by.
And, of course, Brittany Ruffier-Kloss, the open ocean swimmer. I would like to thank Emma Spate, publisher of Coastside News, for stopping by as well. And editor Peter Tchaikovsky, also of Coastside News. Thanks to KHMB Radio and its general manager, Jim Henderson, engineer Jay Michaels. Thanks to Coastal Literary Arts Movement and Peter Kinch for their support. And thanks to you for listening. Do it again Wednesday at 6 on KHMB Radio, on Spotify, and other apps. Adios.